When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Stacking the Box. Once again, myself, Ian McMillan, and Sterling Holmes. Today's episode of the show, because we are in a weird spot where nothing significant has happened in terms of free agency the past week. We're still a little too far away from the draft to really dive into that. So today's episode is mostly going to be our too early predictions for the NFL season, because let's be honest, it's a little early to be predicting things with the NFL season. We haven't even had the draft yet, but that's what we're going to do today. Sterling, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm excited to do our way, way, way too early and see how it evolves from now to post-draft to the preseason. I think it's always fun to see how it evolves on these predictions, just to see how, you know, maybe this week we think the Texans are or the Ravens or just you do not know. And I kind of think this is the... It's fun doing it early to see what teams have had quote unquote good off seasons, what we judge from now and then to as the season and off season progresses. So yes, I'm excited to do this with you, Ian. It's gonna be fun.
Absolutely. Now, there was some NFL news this morning that we do need to mention. Unfortunately, Vontae Davis, cornerback in the NFL, only 35 years old, found dead in his grandmother's home this morning, played for the Dolphins, played for the Colts, played for half a game against the Buffalo Bills. Tragic news. This morning, like I said, just 35 years old.
No foul play is expected at this moment, or involved, I should say, according to the police so far. So we'll see when more details arise. But 35, so young, it's horrible, man. A guy who, as you mentioned, I think maybe most famous. He had a couple of fairly famous moments. One on Hard Knocks when he was traded from the Dolphins, and his first reaction was to call his grandma. It went pretty viral back in the day. And then obviously when he retired abruptly at halftime, which I found, you know, hilarious and something you'll always remember. You never know or have ever heard of a player retiring at halftime when they're getting their ass kicked. He's like, I'm done, dude. I'm a veteran. I'm old. I don't want to get injured. I'm not going back in this team's cheeks. I'm done.
It was funny at the time, but you do kind of have to respect it, where like the moment he realized he didn't want to play football anymore, even though it was halfway through a game, he literally just stopped, which, to be honest, I actually like, because with how dangerous football is, who knows, maybe if he played that second half, he would have suffered a serious injury. So if you feel like you're done, then quit, even if it's halfway through a game. So,
and I remember that too. It's almost too bad because the Bills, that was before they eventually took off with Josh Allen and all that stuff. So they ended up actually turning things around. But it was just so funny because I remember them, they're just losing, they're playing some bad football. And he's like, nah, man, looking around, I'm done, dude.
Yeah. Also, the brother of NFL tight end Vernon Davis,
which I did not know. I read that once this came out and I was like, wait, really? I just thought Davis is a common last name. I would have never put two and two together.
Yep. All right, let's get into it here. I'm actually going to start off the show here, Sterling, really quick, because it is going to relate to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, which I'll read the ad for here in a second. But who do you think win total projections were actually just released this past week for the NFL season? Sterling, can you name the five teams with the lowest win projections at DraftKings Sportsbook?
Panthers.
Panthers, lowest, 4.5.
Patriots.
Patriots tied for the lowest, 4.5, but Panthers are more juiced to the under.
Cardinals.
Cardinals, no.
Broncos.
Broncos, yes. 5.5.
I don't think Chargers will be on that because the media loves the Chargers, even though it's legitimately just Justin Herbert. Let me think. Can you give me a... Trying to think. AFC South, not going to be Jacksonville, not going to be Texans, not going to be Indy, I don't think. Is Indy in there? That'd be surprising.
No.
NFC South. It's got to be a plethora of teams. Any team in the NFC South besides the Panthers.
You almost had it there. One of them is the Titans.
Oh, okay, the Titans.
The AFC South team you didn't name. And then you have an NFC East team.
Washington?
It is the Giants. In terms of the odds, have a lower projected win total than Washington, very slightly. So there you have it. Those are the teams with the five lowest win projections from DraftKings: New York Giants, Tennessee Titans, Denver Broncos, New England Patriots, and Carolina Panthers. Speaking of DraftKings Sportsbook, they're offering a great sign-up bonus for new users. New customers can place a $5 bet on any sport to instantly claim $150 in bonus bets when you sign up using the code STB. The best part is that you will receive these rewards even if your first bet loses. So if you think one of those teams, if you're a fan of one of those five teams I just mentioned, and you say, screw the sports books, give me the over on those win totals, then sign up for an account at DraftKings using code STB. That not only gets you these bonuses, but also helps directly support our podcast. If you've been considering signing up for DraftKings, do it now. Make sure to use the code STB to maximize your first bets. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify.
I need to stop betting when you give me, you were on a roll with your LPGA tour bets. And then the second I started tailing you, it hasn't worked. And I firmly blame me. I'm just bad luck.
Well, here's the thing with golf outright picks is that you're only going to win like one every 2 months, but then you win a lot that one. So, yeah, we are now due to hit an LPGA bet because it's been a little while since I hit my last one, which was mid-February.
You hit like three in a row, though. It was absurd.
I hit three in a row during like late last year. I hit three in like a short period of time. But I mean, Nelly Korda has won three straight events on LPGA, and I just haven't bet on her because I felt like her odds were too short, but apparently not. Move over, Scottie Scheffler. It's Nelly Korda that's winning three straight events. So sign up for DraftKings. Place $5 bet. Code STB. Let's just go through the divisions here, and we'll give our predictions for division winners. And we will kind of predict about how each division is going to go, and then we'll finish off the show giving our award predictions for next season, our Super Bowl matchup, and generally just what teams we think will improve the most and which teams will regress the most. Sound good to you?
Let's do it, baby. NFC or AFC first? Where do you want to start?
Let's go NFC first.
Okay.
Let's start with the NFC East, which clearly is a two-team division. It is either going to be the Eagles or the Cowboys. If you look at the odds, it's exactly that. The Giants and the Commanders are like 10-1 to win the division. So who do you think comes out on top? Do the Eagles bounce back? Do the Cowboys win it for the second straight year? We haven't seen a team in the NFC East win the division 2 years in a row since like the mid-2000s, when the Eagles, I think, won it 3 years in a row from 2005 to 2007 or 2004 to 2006, somewhere in that range. So if history repeats itself, it would be the Eagles that then wins it this year.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, you're right. It's a two-team race. Clearly, I do not believe in the Giants nor the Commanders. They will be in the bottom. The Eagles, I think, have had a better offseason, but they had what I think was lauded as a phenomenal offseason last year, and they did not translate to wins. Now, they just traded Hassan Reddick to the Jets, right? That's a decent loss, but there's still chock full of talent on the defensive line specifically. I think Jalen Hurts bounces back. He had a down year last year, seemingly was banged up a lot. I think the biggest loss that was somewhat underrated last year for the Eagles, which again, you were a noted Eagles hater last year, and guess what? You were correct in that assessment. You called them frauds, and they were. But I think a big reason why was they lost both their OC and DC. I'm not a fan of their head coach. I think he's an ass. I think he's childish. But there was so many moving pieces in the front office and the coaching staff. No one got comfortable. I think another year under their belt, Jalen Hurts now has some familiarity with them. The defense can try and find a game plan. Reed Blankenship coming back, another one-year deal. I think the Eagles bounce back. I'm just never a huge fan of the Cowboys. I just never am. I think the Eagles are a better balanced team than the Cowboys. So for that, I'm going with the Eagles to win the NFC East.
I was hoping you're going to take Cowboys because I'm going to take Eagles right now as well. I think the biggest difference, and I think the biggest issue they had last year, were their coordinators for the Eagles. And I think that was the biggest difference that we saw from the NFC winning team 2 years ago and the team last year. I will put some faith in Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator this year. And that is a big reason why I like the Eagles. Also, I'm very excited to see how Saquon Barkley plays in this offense because he goes from the worst run-blocking offensive line to one of the best run-blocking offensive lines. So Saquon Barkley might be extremely fun to watch this year. So I think the Eagles bounce back as much as even though I wouldn't use the term hater, even though I think Eagles fans would have called me an Eagles hater. I just point out when teams' records aren't as good as their underlying metrics. And halfway through the season, the Eagles weren't nearly as good as the record said. And I was proven to be right.
Yeah. Once Fact. Again, you and I are agreeing on the coordinator aspect and just the moves for everyone listening at home. They added Will Greer as well as trading for Kenny Pickett to back up Jalen Hurts. They signed Devin White, 1 year, $7.5 million contract. The formerly very talented linebacker who's been off and on over the past few seasons. Their cornerback room was atrocious. So what did they do? They're bringing back CJ Gardner-Johnson, who of course was also injured last year. You mentioned Saquon Barkley. While I do think it's a very expensive contract, I don't think we can at least disagree with some of the impact he's going to have. They, again, as I mentioned, Hassan Reddick is no longer there. They traded with the Jets. Well, they brought in Bryce Huff on a very, very large contract. Bryce Huff, one of the more underrated edge rushers in the NFL. Devontae Parker, Brandon Graham coming back were a few of the larger moves for the Eagles. So again, I like the offseason, but we saw what they did last year. Didn't necessarily translate to success, but hopefully this one does for them.
So we got Eagles coming in first, Cowboys second, Commanders or Giants? Who finishes last?
I will say Commanders last.
Okay, we agree for the entire NFC East. Let's move on to the NFC South. The Chiefs, the Chiefs are the biggest favorite to win their division, -225. 49ers are second biggest favorite to win their division, -195. The third biggest favorite to win their division are the Atlanta Falcons, -130 to win the NFC South. So I think we can both agree that the Falcons will dominate that division. The Panthers will finish last by mile, and then the Buccaneers and Saints will finish some combination of second or third. I think this division is pretty quick in terms of our prediction, and I don't think it's going to change between now and opening kickoff.
I do have the Falcons winning. I think you're right. I think they're probably about a 10-win team. maybe an 11-win team because it'll beat up on the rest of that division. Doesn't mean I think they're a great team. Like, I'm not going to pick them to win playoff games. Maybe that's plural, maybe one depending on the matchup. Panthers, I'm with you. I think they are clearly the worst team. And then it does come down to Tampa and New Orleans. Tampa, again, as I mentioned, losing Devin White, but it wasn't really a huge loss as they actually have some young linebackers that I thought played fairly well. They lost Carlton Davis, their cornerback. That's going to be at least a little bit of a difference. They signed Baker Mayfield to a large contract, $100 million over 3 years, while the Saints, on the other hand, they're just, I don't get how they keep finding money. 31 teams play by the salary cap, while somehow the Saints are the only team that's allowed to just circumvent it the entire time, which I guess if you're the NFL, you're sitting here going, who cares? Because they're never that good. It's just not like they take advantage of it by any means. If you look at point differential last year, the Saints were plus 75. Tampa Bay was plus 23. I don't know your thoughts on point differential. I think there's a lot of times you can take decent. Again, sometimes you blow teams out. Like the Dolphins were inflated by that massive win over the Broncos, right?
Right.
We know they weren't that. But at some point, I do think sometimes point differential over a full season can paint some sort of a picture. I don't know who I have two or three. I'm leaning towards Tampa Bay actually being two. But that point differential for New Orleans, I thought was a little interesting. Again, new team, but a lot of the same faces. Obviously, I like some of the receivers, the wide receiver, Chris Olave, as well as Shaheed for New Orleans. I think both are very talented. Alvin Kamara is kind of starting to fall off. But I'll go Falcons, Bucks, Saints, big gap, Panthers.
All right, two for two. We both agree. My favorite stat when evaluating teams, net yards per play, of course. Saints,
oh, really?
And Buccaneers. Saints and Buccaneers are both at minus 0.2. With the Saints having a slight edge if you take it to like the nearest hundredth. So I would give the Saints a very slight edge. As much as that pains me to say, because they are the Falcons' biggest rival. All right, NFC West. I think of all the divisions in football, I think the NFC West has the clear ranking of the four teams. I think that's fair to say. Because obviously the 49ers are going to win that division unless something crazy happens with injury or unless Brock Purdy turns into a pumpkin. Minus 195. I think it's pretty clear, and maybe you disagree, the Rams are the number two team in that division. The odds reflect that, plus 330. I guess there could be an argument which team is going to finish third and fourth between the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Odds of Seahawks 7-1 to win, Cardinals 13-1 to win. So the odds makers certainly favor the Seahawks between those two teams. Do you disagree with it being 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals?
No, but I was close to picking Arizona over Seattle. I'm close. They didn't make a lot of big signings so far. Sean Murphy, Bunting, Mack Wilson, DJ Dallas, Justin Jones, Belil Nichols. They're not really moving the needle necessarily. I'm still fairly high on Kyler Murray as far as talent level. I think there's a situation where we all understand it's probably with him more between the ears than actual talent, but he's healthy. And we saw him elevate the Cardinals before. Even last year when they had a horrendous roster, before he came back, they were at least semi-competitive. And then he came back and they won a couple of upset games. And you're like, okay, they're actually in games now. I don't think Seattle's very good. And I think Pete Carroll got the most out of the Seahawks, which is why I was perplexed when they decided to push him out, right? So part of me is thinking Arizona might be that next surprise team. I think a lot of it's going to come down to the draft. So I think right now I probably still have them in four, but if they have a decent draft, again, they have a lot of draft picks after the Will Anderson trade, right? At least for that draft pick with the Texans. I might be moving Arizona Cardinals up a little bit in this division.
All right, I have some more comments about the Cardinals I'll save for a little bit. But really quick, let's go over NFC North, which I think is fair to say probably the most competitive division in the NFC. You got the Lions, you got the Packers. You know, either team could win that. You even have the Bears, who are a bit of a dark horse. We'll see how Caleb Williams pans out. Obviously, the Vikings are kind of on their own now. Are in the middle of a rebuild kind of in some sense. So Lions are the favorite, plus 150. Packers right behind them, plus 210. Bears plus 265. I will take the Packers to win that division. I'll go Packers 1, Lions 2, Bears 3, Vikings 4. I think the Packers, you have to look at how well they played in the second half of the season last year. You have to look at the fact they had the youngest roster in the NFL. So a roster that young is only going to get better. They made a really good signing on defense with Xavier McKinney. Jordan Love in the second half of the season and in the playoffs, you know, look like a potential MVP candidate next season. I even think for the MVP odds, I think he's sixth on the list to win MVP next year. So I think there's a lot of things to like about the Packers and the Lions. I don't think they're as good as last year's record kind of indicated, to be honest. I think their defense has a ton of issues. I think the Packers are a more complete team.
This was very hard for me because I went back and forth. I'm sticking with Detroit.
Okay.
And part is some of the retaining on the offensive line and the additions on the defensive line. Okay. So they lost Jonah Jackson to the Rams. He was a very solid guard for the Lions. So they brought in Kevin Zeitler, who was a Pro Bowler last year with the Ravens. The offensive line, I think, for the Detroit Lions is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL. They're bringing back Graham Glasgow, the other guard, 3-year, $20 million deal, which I thought was actually a steal when you saw the explosion of the guard market overall, to try and help on the defensive line. They are bringing in DJ Reader. I think that'll be a nice addition alongside, obviously, Aiden Hutchinson. Donovan Peoples-Jones doesn't necessarily move the needle, but with the uncertainty with Josh Reynolds, right? I actually can't remember if he has signed or not Josh Reynolds. They at least try and fill that role with Donovan Peoples-Jones. They brought in Marcus Davenport, not great, but I do remember him with the Saints. He was the 14th overall draft pick in New Orleans. Don't have a lot of great corners, obviously. They try in a couple guys, Khalil Dorsey. They brought in Amik Robertson. Nothing that's necessarily moving the needle. And again, the loss of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who, again, didn't play a lot last year because of injury. He's going back to Philly. That will be interesting how they try and fill that out. I'm going with Detroit, and it's mostly just because of what I think they can do in the trenches.
All right, fair enough. Now let's just recap the NFC as a whole here. If you had to pick one division loser from last year to then win their division this year, who would you go with? Now, I would say in the entire NFL last year, one team managed to go from last to first. That was the Texans, who finished last, and you called it. I know. Finished last in their division the year before, then won the AFC South. No last place team in the NFC that went on and won their division. I think probably next year is going to be a similar case, whereas there's probably a couple teams in the AFC that might be able to pull it off. I don't know if any team in the NFC is able to, but if you had to call one team to go last to first in the division, who would it be? That'd be the Washington Commanders in the East, the Bears in the North, the Panthers in the South, or the Cardinals in the West.
So no for Washington and no for Carolina. I think Arizona is the intriguing one again, because I do think there's a lot of talent, but that to me just comes down to the 49ers would have to get injured.
Yes.
Like beyond injured. Because even if Arizona decides that, okay, we're actually a good football team now, Kyler Murray's back to taking us to the playoffs, you're going to have to win 12, 13 games, and then San Fran's going to have to get injured. So I don't think that's super realistic. I guess the answer is Chicago. That would be Caleb Williams comes in and all of a sudden is just an absolute stud, throwing dots to DJ Moore, and just the team goes off. Again, they have actually a decent amount of pieces defensively on Chicago. Offensively, they're getting better. I do like a couple of their offensive line members. I love the draft pick of Darnell Wright, the left tackle who I always draw a blank on his name. Was not a highly touted left tackle for the past couple of seasons. What has he done? Well, he's been serviceable. I do think Justin Fields... No. But again, I
that's just funny how you phrase. What has he done? Well, he's been serviceable.
Well, no, but like he was like a fifth round draft pick left tackle. Sure, yeah. Like my point is, I think a lot of people want you to believe that the Chicago Bears offensive line was this train wreck. When in reality, I think a lot of it was on Justin Fields holding the football too long. Like I think that's the bigger issue than the Bears offensive line. So if Caleb Williams comes in and he's a guy who gets the ball out quick and he's hitting DJ Moore and he's not taking and dropping back super far and taking a lot of sacks, right? Almost creating sacks, if you will. Well, and I think the Bears take a massive step forward. And in that division, which is, again, a lot of talent with Detroit and Green Bay, there might be a little bit of attrition setting in where they beat up on each other. If they do well against them, I could see him taking the division with 11 or 12 wins.
Yeah, the odds say that the most likely team is the Bears, but I think you would need both Lions and the Packers to take a little bit of a step back, and the Bears take a significant step forward. Whereas the Cardinals, I mean, if something happens to the 49ers, then that division is kind of wide open, even with the Rams probably being the number two team. So I'll say the Cardinals.
Strong. I like it.
What about most likely team to go first to last? Cowboys, Lions, Bucks, or 49ers? Has to be the Bucks.
Has to be the Bucks with, Yeah, has to be the Bucks.
Any teams last year go last to first? Or first to last? No. Yes, the Bengals went first to last in the AFC North.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, 9-8, they still had a winning record, but 9-8 was last place in the AFC North, which is wild for a team with a winning record to be last in their division. All right, let's move on.
Quarterback, too. Yeah. I mean, the Bengals were sneakily competitive last year for all of their issues.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a point like late in the year, looked like they were going to make the playoffs with their backup quarterback, and then they just kind of collapsed a bit. Let's move on to the AFC here, which I think is a little bit more of an intriguing conference, a little bit more parity, maybe not as top heavy as the NFC. So let's start with the AFC East. Obviously, you got the Bills, you got the Dolphins, you got the Jets, who might be interesting this year. A lot of great signings for the Jets in the offseason. Aaron Rodgers is, in theory, going to be healthy. And then the Patriots. Let's start off by saying the Patriots will finish last in the AFC East, which is a beautiful thing. Nothing makes me happier than the Patriots being arguably the worst team in the NFL next to the Panthers right now. It truly brings me joy. I was waiting for these days. I knew when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick was winning all those Super Bowls, I said, just wait. Someday they'll stink again. And now they stink. And it's beautiful. It's gorgeous to watch. I love it. It makes me giddy with happiness.
Yeah, just wait 2 decades. Yeah. That's all it took. Yeah. Yep. No, I'm with you. They're for sure fourth. I think they're fourth. By the way, I think the Jets win this division.
Wow. You're picking the Jets to win it.
Yeah, I'm going. I did last year. I had Jets second last year. I had the Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Patriots last year. I'm going Jets first this year. The reason being is, yeah, they're very, very injury prone. I mean, absurd. It's an old folks home. Like, I get that. But part of me is sitting here going, I can't all of a sudden hate on the moves that they made when I wanted the Chiefs to make a few of the same moves. Like, I wanted the Chiefs to go after Tyron Smith. I think the Chiefs could handle the injury to him if he were to only play in 12 games, because I like Wanya Morris as a backup. I'm not 100% sure on who the backup's going to be. I don't know if they're going to keep Mekhi Becton, what's going to happen with the rest of the offensive line in New York, but I really like that move. Is it an overpay? You bet your ass it is, but it's not my money. They found a way to make it work. You brought in a guy, when healthy, big caveat, when healthy, who's a all-pro type of left tackle, not Pro Bowl, all pro. I like that. Aaron Rodgers is healthy. And again, he's one of those guys where, is he obnoxious? Yeah, dude, I can hardly stand the guy. Like, it's absurd to me. But when he plays football, he's still phenomenal. Like, he's still really damn good when he actually plays. I actually don't have many concerns about him coming back and performing at a fairly high level. They helped out by getting another great wide receiver to go alongside Garrett Wilson with Mike Williams. Again, health is a concern. Javon Kinlaw on the defensive side of the ball. And they actually finally brought in a good backup quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. So if Rodgers were to miss a couple of games, not the full season, but a couple of games, I think you at least like your opportunity there. They brought in Solomon Thomas on the defensive side of the ball as well to try and bump up the offensive line. They brought in John Simpson at guard. Chuck Clark, right? He's a little bit older right now at safety, but he has been talented in the past. I've liked some of the moves the Jets have made overall. Again, it's an old folks home, but maybe those guys got 1 year left in them. So give me the Jets finishing first in the AFC East.
I'll say this. People forget Breece Hall, fourth in the NFL in yards from scrimmage this season. Christian McCaffrey, CD Lamb, Tyreek Hill, and then Breece Hall, number four. So they got some playmakers. I don't think Rodgers is going to have a good season. People forget his last season with the Packers was bad. Worst QBR of his career, worst quarterback rating of his career. They finished 8-9. And then he saw Jordan Love do a lot of things, a lot of good things with that roster last season. So I actually even think if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, I actually don't think he's going to have a good year.
Okay, but they went 7-10 last year with historically bad. Yeah. I mean, historically bad quarterback play.
Yeah.
Although I said the year before too, when they went, I think 7-10 yet again, if I'm not mistaken, the year before with historically bad quarterback play. So
yeah, their defense is very, very, very good for sure. I'm going to say, by the way, in terms of the betting odds, the Bills are favorite at +140, Dolphins +215, Jets +220. So very, very close. Easily the tightest race. In terms of a three-team race to win a division, I'm going to take the Dolphins a +215 to win the division. Their offense was unbelievable last year. They ran out of gas a little bit. I think Mike McDaniel learned a lot from a coaching perspective. I think he's still very young, and while his schemes are very good, I think he has a lot of things to learn, and I think he learned a lot of things from last season. So I think the Dolphins are going to improve. They got to improve their defense. They got to not run out of gas offensively as the season goes on. But I like the Dolphins to win the AFC East. I think the Bills are going to take a bit of a step back. I'm going to go Dolphins, Bills, Jets, Patriots.
I'm going, I think the Bills take a step back as a heads up as well. I'm going Jets, Dolphins, Bills, Patriots. I feel bad for Josh Allen because I still think he's the second best quarterback in the NFL. But I mean, that team is getting worse and worse.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough year for the Bills. I mean, if I'm surprised they're actually the favorite to win the division. If Josh Allen can drag them to a division title, like that's going to be insane because he's not going to have a lot of help this year.
No.
Let's move on to the AFC South. The Texans went from worst to first this past season, and they are now the betting favorites to win it again, plus 135, Jaguars plus 240, Colts plus 330, and then Titans plus 650, who the Titans, to be fair, have actually had a pretty solid offseason.
Yes, they have.
Titans, I think, I mean, I'm not going to take them to win the division at plus 650, but I mean, it comes down to Will Levis. I need some kind of decent quarterback play from Will Levis. If Will Levis takes a step forward this year, the Titans might be competitive in that division.
I think this entire division is pretty darn good. Yeah. Like I feel like people are going to still laugh and be like, oh, it's the AFC South, without realizing you have, in my opinion, the third best team in the AFC, if not the second best team in the AFC with the Texans, because I love their offseason so far. Yeah. Love it. I love what they've done.
Great offseason.
It kind of comes down to, does CJ Stroud take that sophomore slump year? Some guys do, some guys don't. You know, now they have tape on him, but he doesn't seem like the guy is going to take a big step back. I'm not super high on Trevor Lawrence. You know that. Not been a super massive fan of the Jacksonville Jaguars overall. I would not be surprised if the Jags finished last in this division. Ooh. The Titans, again, comes down to Will Levis. Was not high on him coming out of college. I watched him a lot in college. Went to Mizzou, obviously, so I watched a lot of SEC football. It's not me trying to hate on Kentucky. I just was not a big fan of his game. I didn't see it always translating. But I do like their moves. Their worst part of their defense was their secondary. So what did they do? Damn, look at that secondary now. It looks pretty darn salty. A question is, Mike Vrabel, I thought, was a damn good head coach. We'll see what happens now. And then the Colts, obviously, Anthony Richardson is the highest ceiling, lowest floor, one of the highest ceilings and lowest floors of any quarterback in the NFL. He looked really good before injury, albeit a little inconsistent. They went 9-8 last year, mostly with Gardner Minshew. I think they have a fairly underrated roster top to bottom. Not great, but I think underrated. This division, I think, is going to be very, very fun.
Yeah, I'll take the Colts finishing last, actually. I'll go Texans, Jaguars, Titans, Colts is my prediction. And I think the Jaguars sneak into a wild card spot. I'm still not high on Anthony Richardson. I know he looked pretty good and you know, the little that we saw of him last year. I'm still not completely sold on him. And that roster as a whole, I don't really love. So I'll go Texans, Jaguars, Titans, Colts.
I'll go Texans, Colts, Jags, Titans. I think
you just flipped. You said you're going to take Jags last.
I said, I think I'll take the Jags all last. Right. I don't know, man. That's a coin flip to me. Let's just say they both finish 7-10.
All right. AFC. Let's go AFC West next. Let's get the Chiefs out of the way.
Yeah, it's the Chiefs. It's not even close. Sorry. Chargers took a massive step back. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty darn bad. They have Justin Herbert, so you will be in some games just based on him throwing the ball 45 times and him making some of those, you know, elite quarterback plays. You know, he's still, in my mind, almost in that elite quarterback category. He's in the cusp of the top five, right? It's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Burrow, it's Lamar. Maybe it's Herbert 5, right? I think you can make the case. But that team is not good. I have the Raiders 2nd. I think the Raiders are sneakily a really good team. I love the pickup of Gardner Minshew. Again, you saw the Colts go 9-8 with him at the helm last year. I think this Raiders team is like that team, although I think they're better overall. They have their wide receiver 1 still with Devontae Adams. I like Mike Mayer. I think they're pretty good in the trenches. The signing of who is a Miami Dolphins defensive tackle? Drawing blank right now. Absolute stud.
I'm drawing blank too. It's the off season.
Yeah, going to go alongside Max Crosby. I mean, those two guys form one of the best duos in the NFL.
Christian Wilkins.
Thank you. So I think that the Raiders are second. I think the Chargers are third, and the Broncos are fighting for the number one draft pick next year.
Chargers, in terms of the odds, second at 3-1. Raiders, a distant third at 12-1, which is surprising because I'm actually going to predict the Raiders finish second in that division too. With the, did you have Chargers third or fourth?
Third.
Yeah, I'll go Chargers third and then the Broncos last. By the way, do you have a comment on Rashee Rice? What's going on in Kansas City?
We will wait and see. I don't want to speculate. Doesn't look great. Seems like potentially may have gotten a little lucky also, you know, but you don't want to speculate too much until all of the facts come out. He did get counsel as of today, according to Josina Anderson. So for all the folks that they can't get in touch with him, all that stuff, well, he now has counsel. So we'll see.
Let's go on to the AFC North. We'll finish there. The most competitive division in the AFC. Ravens plus 115 favorites, Bengals plus 165, Browns surprisingly 6-1. Oddsmakers do not have faith in the Browns despite how good they were last season, especially on defense. Steelers plus 850. I think the Ravens win this division again. I'll go Browns number two. I'm still not a believer in the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow has dragged this team to a lot more wins than they deserve. Their defense was atrocious last year, especially their secondary. I don't think they deserve to be anywhere close to plus 165 to win this division. I think Ravens number one, Browns number two with their defense. Although something's not, I don't think enough people are talking about the Browns defense and what happened this year. There might have been some shenanigans afoot. I don't want to have a tinfoil hat here, and I don't want to get crazy, but the Browns defense allowed 13.9 points per game at home and then 31.3 games on the road. That doesn't make sense. That's almost 20 points difference per game. What's going on their home field where they're that much better? Because it's not a little bit. It's
trash cans. Difference. Did we hear trash cans?
Best scoring
run versus pass
at home, the best scoring defense in the NFL. On the road, the worst scoring defense in the NFL.
Are they allegedly pulling James Harden's on the road where they're just going out to the strip clubs or something? Like, do you remember that the graph of like based on the strip club in the city? Yes. It's like how good James Harden plays.
One of the funniest sports graphs of all time.
Like, we got to find out if that's kind of how the Browns are rocking.
I think they're cheating. They're doing something on their home field that makes no sense. It doesn't make sense to me that you are the best scoring. Not like, oh, you're good and then bad on the road. The best scoring defense at home, the worst scoring defense on the road.
They must love their beds, dude. They must love their beds at home. Yeah.
I don't know. I need to get my people on this. I got to look into this. No one's talking about it. I'm going to start talking.
A lot of people have talked about this. This is why I think the Browns take a decently sized step back. I don't think what they did at home was sustainable defensively. I don't believe in Deshaun Watson. So for the folks who are like, yeah, well, they went 11-6 with Jacoby Brissett and Joe Flacco. Well, Joe Flacco played great for the most part. And I'm sitting here going, you guys really think Deshaun Watson's going to all of a sudden turn him back into this great quarterback? He has not been one in, what, 4 years now? Has it been 4 years? Like, sorry. This probably is who he is. I'm out. I'm deciding between the Ravens and the Bengals for the top spot. You know, the Bengals had a couple of good moves, I thought, to try and bolster the defense. Sheldon Rankins, nice pickup. They brought in Geno Stone, which I thought was a phenomenal deal, especially inexpensive for a great safety from the Ravens. Von Bell, they are bringing back offensively. Zach Moss, as well as Mike Gesicki, the tight end. But it's not going to be enough. I'll go Ravens one, Bengals two, with the Bengals making the playoffs. Joe Burrow being healthy, Ja'Marr Chase being healthy, T. Higgins still currently on the team and healthy. That's big. Tyler Boyd was not an impact player at all last year. So even if he comes back or not, does not matter in my mind. Then I'll go Browns three, Steelers four.
All right, so you're lining up there with the odds. I'm going to flip Bengals and Browns. I'll go Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers. Dang. Arthur Smith-led offense in Pittsburgh. That'll be fun.
not boring. I can't believe he went with the chalk there. Like, again, I get the Steelers went 10-7 last year, and you're like, oh, it was Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. It can't get worse. I'm like, yeah, but it's probably not going to be any better.
It can get worse. Who's their backup? Who's their backup tight end right now? Whoever it is, draft him in fantasy, because he's going to get a lot of balls thrown his way. Jalen Warren and Najee Harris will be nothing but decoys. All right, so there you go. That is the AFC for divisions. Do you have a prediction, or what team would you pick to go last to first in the AFC next year? The Texans pulled it off last year, going last to first. This year, the obvious answer would be the Bengals, because they've still last at 9-8. Patriots, no. Titans could be interesting. Who knows? And then, I mean, Chargers, that would involve, much like the 49ers would have to implode, the Chiefs would have to implode.
Yeah, obviously, I think the Bengals would be the obvious answer. But again, I think the Titans are a fun one. If you want to throw a sprinkling of something on a bet, I think they're the most fun, because if Will Levis is like Jordan Love style, right, where you're like, oh, okay, I can see some funness. No longer is this going to be just hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, which, again, big loss, but defensive, they're a lot better. I like Tajay Spears. They brought in, was it Tony Pollard, if I'm not mistaken, at running back now.
Yep.
If you wanted to throw a sprinkling, I think that's probably the best odds, right? Because the Bengals, you're not getting a lot of juice for that one.
I'll say Chargers.
What?
I'll say Chargers last to first.
What happened?
I have to pick one.
Did the Chiefs just...
Maybe.
Like, no, fold?
Maybe more of the roster gets in legal trouble again.
Do the Raiders also decidedly not play football anymore? Like, I think the Chargers are horrendous, dude.
Well, maybe, you know. Maybe Jim Harbaugh can, you know, drag this team to the playoffs. Good quarterback and good coach. Sometimes that's all you need.
Fake news. You are fake news. You're the national media. I would love
for the Chiefs to implode. That'd be hilarious.
Fake news yet again.
Maybe Taylor Swift distracts the team.
Not a fact. They just won the Super Bowl with their dog.
It's tough to say that after the playoffs last year. What about a team to go first to last? I think really probably the only possibility is probably the Texans, even though I don't think that's a strong possibility. CJ Stroud takes a big step back. I mean, you could say the Bills, but then are they going to be worse than the Patriots, though? Like, even though the roster is bad, I can't see them being worse than the Patriots. Ravens, probably not. Texans, maybe. And then Chiefs, once again, would be hilarious. I would laugh, but it's not going to.
Yeah, I think the Bills are a sneakily decent option.
Yeah.
Sneakily decent option. Again, who knows? And what if things don't start great and they trade Stephon Diggs and they're just like, we're going to rebuild. But again, it's so hard because Josh Allen, again, I think is the second best quarterback in the NFL. So when you have the most important position, the most impactful position figured out in the NFL, you're always are going to be in games.
Yeah, and like I said, and I'll say it again, the only team that went first to last year was the Bengals, but they still had a winning record, so like you can't really even count that against them, and they didn't have Joe Burrow. All right, those are our division predictions. Let's wrap it up with some award predictions here. MVP next year, which now, can we safely say the MVP is just the best quarterback award?
Yes.
That's what it is now, right? Like,
I hate it.
Right. If there was ever going to be a non-quarterback to do it, it was going to be like Tyreek Hill or Christian McCaffrey last year. And they didn't even really get first place votes.
I really wish Tyreek Hill would have stayed healthy last year, because if he would have, that would have been a really interesting conversation.
It would have to be like a record breaking, unbelievable year. And there would have to be no clear cut. But Lamar Jackson won MVP. And if you look at his numbers compared to his MVP numbers in 2019, not even close.
Yeah. He was good last year.
Good. Very good.
Very good, but like it didn't feel like he was an MVP level last year.
Right.
Right.
It was a year where no quarterback really kind of made a claim for that award, and you probably could have gave it to, I thought Christian McCaffrey was the MVP, and no, they just gave it to the best quarterback, even though the best quarterback didn't really have an MVP type season, in my opinion. So, so MVP next year.
It's either CJ Stroud or Jordan Love, or Jordan Love, in my opinion.
Oh. Okay.
I think you're gonna start seeing a little bit of Lamar Jackson fatigue, which we have seen with Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yes.
Where you're like, yeah, we know they're great, dude. Well, let's pick someone else. unless they throw, for example, if Mahomes throws for 50 and 5,000, yeah, he's got a shot. If he doesn't, if he throws for 45 and 4,800, I think people are like, nah, sorry, you've already won it. The reason why Lamar won last year when I didn't think he necessarily was the guy was because, again, it's a quarterback award and no quarterbacks really stood out. So if that happens again, then yeah, maybe one of those guys can win it. But I think if CJ Stroud takes a step forward or Jordan Love continues what he did from like the second half on, I'll go CJ Stroud though. A healthy Tank Dell, healthy Nico Collins. We know they sling the ball. They air it out down there. I'll go CJ Stroud. I think he puts up some pretty gaudy numbers this year.
I will say a player who's available at 18-1 to win MVP right now, Brock Purdy. People forget he was a minus 145 favorite heading into that game against the Ravens. Then he had decided to have his worst start of the entire season. And then that was basically when Lamar Jackson won MVP. But last year when the 49ers for the majority of the year were looked at as the best team, and really I thought Christian McCaffrey was actually the MVP, it was still Brock Purdy who was the overwhelming favorite to win the award. So we know the 49ers are going to be good again this year. We know that they have, you know, a very favorable offensive system. They play in a weaker conference compared to a lot of the AFC quarterbacks. So I'll say Brock Purdy, 18-1. You can get him at.
What's CJ Stroud at?
So the odds right now, I can't see them because you can't bet on MVP in New York. I have to go offshore, unfortunately. But the list I'm looking at right now, and this is consensus. So these are like several different sports books, but Patrick Mahomes plus 650 is a favorite generally. Josh Allen plus 750. Lamar Jackson 10-1. Joe Burrow 10-1. CJ Stroud 12-1. So CJ Stroud's fifth. Jordan Love sixth at 14-1. Then you got Herbert, Prescott, Hurts, Purdy, Lawrence, Stafford, Tua, Rodgers. And then, I mean, ooh, Kirk Cousins 40-1. Ooh. Why didn't I say Kirk Cousins?
Sprinkle.
I forgot about Kirk Cousins. I'm going to change my pick. Kirk Cousins, 40-1.
You just all of a sudden pulled your Matt Ryan Colts, and that's going to happen to the Falcons, dude. You just jinxed him. You just jinxed him.
Well, we have a lot better offensive line than the Colts did that year, at least.
Fact.
That's fact. Fact or fiction? Fact. Offensive player of the year.
I want to try and think outside the box here. You know, it's hard
because the two obvious answers are Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and that's just no fun. That's boring. I part of me wants to almost pick something like Derrick Henry with first year with the Ravens, but I think Lamar Jackson's going to vulture away too many touchdowns.
Yep.
You go first on this one.
I will say CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys. Gets a ton of targets, racked up stats last year. I think he even had a better year than a lot of people thought, or at least a lot of people talked about. I will say CeeDee Lamb.
I'll go Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I like it.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is always consistently good. And if I think the Lions continuously win that division, I think it's going to be Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I'm changing my pick. Saquon Barkley. Let's see Barkley behind the Eagles offensive line.
Solid. Solid.
Defensive player of the year. I think TJ Watt finally wins it. I thought he deserved it last year. He's been, you know, in like the top three of voting, like four straight years or something, and still hasn't won it. I'll say TJ Watt finally wins it.
Oof.
I think if it's close at all, I think they give it to Watt because he hasn't won it yet. Whereas the other top guys have all won it. Myles Garrett's won it. It's Micah Parsons who hasn't won it.
Yeah, Micah Parsons deserves it. Chris Jones has been top three, top five almost every single year now.
So the person I was thinking of who hasn't won it was Micah Parsons. TJ Watt won it in 2021. I'll say Micah Parsons reasons, but just replaced with Micah Parsons. Also, Micah Parsons needs to get better throat the second half of the season. He always gets off to a hot start, and then like he gets quiet in the second half of the season. And awards, generally, they'll favor guys who have a better end of the season as opposed to start of the season. If Micah Parsons can just even flip, has a good second half instead of a good first half, he'd win these awards. I'll say Micah Parsons.
You just described the Cowboys team as a whole.
Last year they finished hot. They won the NFC East after getting hot at the end of the year, but then they did collapse in the playoffs.
Max Crosby.
Oh, he was my pick last year.
He finally has some help on the defensive line.
Yep.
So he can get some more one-on-ones. He was the most double-teamed player, tied for the top three, whatever it was. He was heavily double teamed last year and still put those numbers. He's on the field almost every single snap, which gives him a slight advantage because he doesn't come out of the game, right? So you have more opportunity. And again, now more one-on-ones with Christian Wilkins at the D-line. Give me Max Crosby.
What happened to Tyree Wilson? I had high hopes for him. He was drafted by the Raiders like in the top 10 last year, wasn't he? Did he just do not? He's not even first on their depth chart right now. I don't know how accurate this depth chart is, but played in 17 games, started zero. I mean, 3.5 sacks. All right.
I mean, you
kind of didn't really hear his name throughout the season, though, when he was picked 7th overall last year.
I wasn't a huge fan of the pick personally at 7, but took a gamble.
Obviously, I don't think we can, unless you want to, I don't think there's any reason to predict rookie of the year, because I think what team these guys land on is obviously going to play a massive role in that.
Yeah.
All right. Super Bowl matchup.
Oh, dude, I wanted to just do chalk. I wanted to just chalk it up and do Chiefs and 49ers, but that's no fun, right? Chiefs 49ers, that's no fun. My real pick would be Chiefs against the Packers.
Falcons. What?
Chiefs against the Packers. But if you want me to not pick the Chiefs, no, I got to go with it because I think it's Chiefs Packers.
All right. I will try to not be a homer, although my pick is a Bird Bowl, Ravens, Falcons, which would be great. I'll not go homer. Since you're going to go homer, I'll go not homer.
It's not even a homer. It's just fact. It's fact.
I'll be the only non-biased person on this show. I will say Ravens from the AFC, from the NFC. I will go with the Cowboys finally get there. Ravens beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
I don't know if you noticed this, by the way. You and I both did this. We both picked the second team in the division because I have Detroit winning. I went with Green Bay upsetting them and making it. We both have the Eagles winning the NFC East and you with the Cowboys.
There you go. I guess they got to win some games on the road in the playoffs.
We're all expecting upsets, baby.
Yeah. Which team will improve the most in terms of wins from last year to this upcoming season? Which team do you think will improve their record the most? Obviously, last year it was the Texans, who went from what, 3 wins to they had 10 wins, so they had 7 win improvement.
I'm going between Arizona, Falcons, and Jets. Jets could win 5. I don't see the Cardinals improving by 5-9. I don't think the Falcons. I'll go Jets. I think the Jets win 5 more games, win 12 games this year. So that's an improvement of 5. 12
games for the Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I will go with the Falcons. I think they win 11. I think 4 game improvement might be. I mean, last year we saw, was it a 7 game improvement from the Texans last year? Yeah. I don't think we're going to see that again. 7 games is insane. I think 4 game improvement might be enough to at least be tied for the most. So I'll say Falcons go from 7-11.
Again, the Cardinals, I think, are an intriguing one, only winning 4 the year before. If they win, 9 games, 8 games.
Sniper Nation with Aaron Rodgers, of course, probably more.
See?
Of course, 12 wins, probably more with 88-year-old Aaron Rodgers. Oh, God. I just don't see another team that's jumping off the page for me that has the potential to. I mean, the Chargers, they had 5 wins last year. They get to 10. That's a 5-game improvement. They go 10-7. They're not getting
to 10, dude.
No, I don't think they will either, but I'm just seeing like some other potential teams because there are some teams I think will improve, but they had teams that had like 8-9 wins last year anyways. Yeah. I'll switch to the Chargers. Maybe Chargers and Falcons tied with a 4-4 win improvement.
Fake news.
What about for the biggest regression candidate in terms of wins? That's Aaron Rodgers, bro. Come on. Okay. Fair enough. Hey, I could be wrong. I think the biggest regression candidate has to be the Bills, who won 11 games last year. Their roster is just not in a good spot right now.
I'm going Broncos, dude. I think the Broncos.
Broncos won 8, yeah.
They might win 3.
Yep. I guess that might be the way that you want to look at it, is like a middling team. Like the Seahawks go from 9 wins down to like 4 wins.
Yeah.
Seahawks could regress. Seahawks would be my pick.
Broncos. Fact.
All right. We'll see. Well, not fact, but we'll see. All right. That's the show. Any final thoughts?
I'm upset with Tennessee. For Tennessee would have won last night. I would have won a lot of money in my March Madness bracket.
Ooh.
They lost. Yep. So I did not win a lot of money in my March Madness bracket.
Zach Edey, Canadian. People forget.
Fact.
All right. I think next week, I think we do need to start diving into the draft a little bit, because the draft is now when? We are in April. The draft is this month, but I think it's the last week, April, isn't
it? Yeah. Yep.
I think for the past couple weeks, I think I keep saying next week we're going to dive into the draft. I think we have to next week. It's April 25th. So it's 3 weeks from Thursday.
It's my birthday.
25th?
Yeah.
There you go.
Turn 30.
Join the club.
Welcome.
All right. Thank you all so much for watching. Subscribe to Stack in the Box on YouTube. One more user comment here. Broncos can win 3 with anonymous QB, but Jets can't win 5 with Aaron. More wins?
We're talking about 5 more wins. That would mean 12 wins for the Jets.
Right. Yeah. I don't think they can. No.
I think they win 12, so.
I'd say they get to 10. What's that, a 3-game improvement? Yeah, I think that's all this version of Aaron Rodgers is. Okay, we'll see. I could be wrong. Thank you all so much for watching. Like, subscribe, rate, and review, all that good stuff. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook using the code STB, and you will get $150 in bonus bets when you place your first $5 bet. Thank you all so much for watching. We'll talk to you all next week.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.